Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Stab on Accident. We appreciate you coming out. This is the closest thing to Irish Celtic music that you're going to get tonight. Is a white guy with a red beard talking. That's as close as it's going to happen.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
Oh, wow. The audience obeyed. Good audience. Are you guys ready to play Stab? Are you ready? Good. Let's welcome our contestants to the stage. In the first chair, we have Mr. Stephen Fury. Stephen Fury. The second chair, Danielle Mandela. In the third chair, JP Fernandez. And in the fourth chair, Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones, welcome. Hey guys, welcome, welcome. Let's meet everyone here on the stage. We have first chair. This is your second time being on the show.
Yeah, I think so.
Mr. Stephen Fury, let him hear you.
Crowd erupted. Roars, applause.
He is,
sit down, everyone. It's okay.
Sit down, guys. It's inappropriate that you're standing
it's
up.
It's appropriate,
right.
Though.
Stephen Fury, stand-up comedian here, local guy,
mm-hmm.
Also part of the Infirmary comedy show that
Dealings.
Does shows every Friday night over at the Uli Theater.
Uli Theater.
28th and T-ish.
Yeah. 2007.
2007.
That's the number on the door.
That's the year. All their comedy is from the 2007s. That's
yep.
It's all
yes, very.
Steve Fury, thank you. Do you have a Twitter you'd like to?
At Steve Fury, STEVEFUREY.
That is a great comedy name. Stephen Fury, I don't know if you guys knew this. Stephen Fury invented carpal tunnel syndrome.
I did.
So
a lot
he
of
came up with
one time.
Yeah.
With myself in my room.
Like I'm going to call
my fingers.
Well, thank you for being here, Stephen
thank
Fury.
Thank you for having me.
And seat number two, we have a fan favorite.
That's nice. Thank you.
Sorry for laughing at that. I didn't mean like, Danielle Mandela. Let her hear you, Danielle Mandela.
Hi.
She's here. Danielle, a local sketch writer, also the co-founder of Grindr. I don't know if
Whoa.
You knew
Explains
the Grindr website. She is. Hey, Danielle, how are you?
I'm great, and someone up here smells like bubblegum, and I like it a lot.
It is
uh-oh.
Me. You're welcome.
Who is it? Oh, is it? Is it? Who is it?
Jamie just took a shower.
Okay.
In bubblegum.
In bubblegum. Okay, good. Do you have, yes, you have a Twitter.
I
not
do.
The at, not that Mandela.
That's right.
Right?
Two L's, not one.
Two, okay. Just in case.
That's the only difference between us.
That's great. That's great. In the third chair, we have Jamie Fernandez. She hasn't been here in a while,
hey.
Jamie Fernandez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jamie Fernandez, also a local comedian. Also, didn't know if you knew this, Queen of Estonia. Queen.
That's right.
So thank you for
You're welcome.
Gracing us with your presence
You're
and
welcome.
Taking some time from the work of the throne.
It's hard, but I get out, you know.
Thank you. Do you have a Twitter?
I do. It's at Jamie Likes You.
Okay. There you go. Jamie likes you. Everyone?
I've always wondered, and now I know.
And yeah. Do you spell it the awkward way that you actually
yeah.
spell it, or
it's
the right way?
It's J-A-I-M-E.
Okay.
So it's like Jamie.
Jamie. It's not J-A-M-I-E.
It's not.
All right. I before E, unless it's in Jamie's name.
That's right.
That's the saying.
Yeah. I don't know why my parents did that.
I don't know either.
Dumb.
Thank you for coming, Jamie. Thank you. We'll ask
them
one
welcome.
Day. Thank you. And then seat number four, Jesse Jones. He's on every show. Jesse Jones. Let
hey.
Him
hear. Hey there. Oh, that's so nice.
Yes. Thank you for being Jesse Jones. I don't know if you knew this. Once fought off the entire gang of the Crips with his bare hands. The entire
that.
Gang. The entire Crip organization with his bare hands.
It was early in their their organization.
It's like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Just surprising them.
Yeah.
The only ones that were awake. Yeah. So that's good.
There's not a lot of morning Crips.
It's night Crips.
They're not morning people.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about the Crips anymore.
You brought it up.
I'm wearing green, so I'm fucking safe, I think. Jesse Jones, he hosted our podcast, last two podcasts, I believe, that we have, or had.
One.
Oh,
only
so
the
did,
one.
Oh, that was
the
only one
only
you
did. We only did the one, yeah.
Where you did a great job.
Well, thank you.
Except the part where you talk shit on me through the whole thing. Didn't want to bring that up.
Well, I wasn't. To be fair, Ben Rice did some, too, and that's just, I mean, wasn't.
I don't want to, all I want from you this show is you not to mention me. In a negative man. All right, how about that? After every prompt that you do, you have to say one nice thing about me. Or I will erase you from the show, which means we won't have a podcast.
Yeah, we won't. It'll be done.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Jesse Jones is here. One more time for Jesse Jones. Let's play Stab. We're playing it. Get ready. Are you ready? Stephen Fury. The name of this first segment is called This Was Today Once. Stephen Fury, on this date, 1802, by the law of... Wait, hold on a second. By the law of 20 May 1802, Napoleon Bonaparte reinstates slavery in the French colonies, revoking its abolition in the French Revolution. Also, on this date, 1310, shoes were made for the both left and right feet. The first left and right shoe was made. What did you do to celebrate these things in tandem?
Well, you know, every year I do the same thing.
Okay.
I pour a fine glass of Mr. Carlos Rossi's blend of orange juice, and it's a new thing. Don't look it up.
Okay.
And then I call forth my two French slaves.
Okay.
Both left-handed. And I strapped them to my feet. And then I dream of the days when I didn't have to, like, buy two left shoes.
Yeah.
And then and that's what I did.
Sounds like a good celebration. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Stephen Fury. Thank you very much. Danielle Mandela, it's your turn. Get ready. On this date, 1891, history of cinema, the first public display of Thomas Edison's prototype kinetoscope. Is that how you say that?
It is. That's right.
Yeah? Did I say it right? Also on this date, 1830, D. Hyde patents of the fountain pen. What did you do to celebrate these events in tandem?
So, little known lie about me is that I only write and draw with a fountain pen.
Oh.
So I started, I also have a stupid number of Post-it notes. I collect them. So I started making a flip book in a Post-it book, you know. Of a little stick figure who's going to sneeze. And then 14 hours and 28 packs of Post-its later, I pretty much had a meltdown. I had a nervous breakdown, and I couldn't finish. So it's worthless right now. But in the summer of 2035, flipping out the epic drama about the making of the flip book that I made will be on Hulu for $24.99 per view.
That's cheap. Well, for then.
Yeah. Cheap the future.
There's a lot of, yeah. Very good. Thank you very much, Danielle. Moving on. What's your name again?
Jamie
Fernandez.
Fernandez. You could say Jamie.
It sounds French. I don't like people that sound French. I don't like that. I had a person confront me because remember when that group shot up all the French people because they drew a picture of Muhammad or whatever? Mm. And then I didn't know how to read the French, like, je suis Charlie or whatever. And I said it wrong. And then someone confronted me that I said it wrong, like I'm supposed to know French. I was like, why am I supposed to know French? I know a lot of Spanish. It seems a lot more relevant to where I live. So, fuck you guys that know French. Except my girlfriend. On this date, 1902, Cuba gains independence from the United States. Ah, they're back. Well, not really. I mean, all right. Thomas Estrada Palma becomes the country's first president. That's when they got away from us. In 1892, also on this very date, George Sampson patents the clothes dryer. How about that, huh?
I like that that was the prompt. It wasn't like, it was just like, how about that? all right. I did. These are reasons why I would not celebrate that day. I would not celebrate that day. First of all, I'm a white female. So Cuban people make me nervous. And anyone who has an accent symbol over an A or an E in their name might as well just be a serial rapist to me.
Whoa.
I'll know what El Noah means, a Noah, right? Thomas Estrada Palma sounds like a name I'd see on a county sex offenders list. And I have the app. I check it daily, and I'm like 70% sure I've seen that name on there. Also, I thought America gained their independence like right after the Bible was written. I'm sure Jesus was an American and Cuba just sort of like was created when he was letting interns handle things one day, which is always a bad idea because sometimes I'm like, oh, I said a raspberry sweet tea, not a mocha frappuccino. Are you fucking ugly and autistic?
Oh, man. Oh. Walk in the crowd. Hearts and minds.
Or Jesus might have just had a wild hair one night when he made Cuba, like how I sometimes tell my girlfriends, like, guys, we have to have Chinese food or I'm going to die. You know, like you just need ethnic orange chicken sometimes. Like Jesus was probably just like, Cubans are going to be filthy, but they're going to put ham and pork sandwiches in a hot press and people are going to die for it. I mean, not like how he died for people, but just for the sandwiches. And lastly, I more or less don't give a shit about someone putting a patent on a clothes dryer. It's like, invent something better. Maybe that doesn't mean I have to sit at home all fucking Sunday while my friends are out getting blitzed off cranberry mimosas. Like, you're like a machine where where you could put your entire lot of laundry into a funnel area on the top and it automatically grabs a full load, dispenses detergent on its own, washes your clothes, and then when it's done, the bottom opens up and drops your wet clothes into a dryer, and the dryer automatically turns and dries them to completion. Yeah, you're welcome. Put a goddamn patent on that, George Sampson, you lazy fuck.
All right. Very good. Very good. You're learning stuff tonight. You're learning stuff. We're inventing things. Jesse Jones, on this date, 1989, American actress, comedic actress, Gilda Radner passed away. Also, today is World Meteorology Day. Huh?
How did he spell that on your paper?
I didn't really
put it. It's World Metrology Day.
It's
not meteorology.
Metrology Day. Oh, whoop, that changes it entirely.
Yeah, it does.
You know what? Now you have to say two nice things about me.
It seems like I get to take a nice
just
thing
away. No, you need to make up for... Get off your high horse, okay? how'd you celebrate these events, A?
Well, listen, you don't need to tell me these two things happened today. I'm living it, all right?
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to lash out. It's just... Every year, this time, I sit down with Stab's comedy scientists to try to determine the definitive system of measurement for female comedians. And to this day, we haven't been able to decide on a universal standard. For decades, it was a very easy system. Female comedians were measured on the ball scale from 0.01 to 0.99 Lucy's. Then around 1975, different camps splintered off trying to devise a more precise unit of measure. One of the biggest and supposedly easiest systems is the Radner. Its supporters like to tell you how simple it is and make you feel like an idiot if you don't get it. Apparently, there are 10 milliradners in a centiradner and 100 centiradners in a gildometer. Which, fine, if you grew up with that, yeah, it might be easy, but it makes no sense at all to me. I've personally always used the Imperial Lorraine Newman. It's just how I understand things. I mean, you ask me how to measure a Tina Fey, and I can tell you it's one Lorraine and eight Newmans. But what the hell is that in Radners? Like 2.6 gildometers? You can't expect me to do that kind of conversion every time I try to calculate the humor density of a female comedian. Don't even get me started on trying to explain fractal Jane curtains. I think it's in base 6 for some goddamn... It's fucking anarchy. I don't know. Now, calculating for male comedians is a lot easier. Most of the industry moved to the Belushi units years ago. It's pretty straightforward. In Belushi's, there's 100 gyms in a John. Simple. Belushi's standard weights and measures is perfect, and everyone agrees on it. But Radner's are just harder to quantify. So if you'll excuse me, I have to convert Sarah Silverman from Judy Tenuta's into something that makes any sense at all.
Very good. That was This Was Today Once.
That was really good.
Very good. This game is still called Stab. This next segment is called Reorganization. Reorganization, please, writers, participants, please take this existing acronym and reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? Today's acronym is GOP. GOP. Let's start with you, Stephen Fury.
Obviously, it stands for Ghetto Ostrich Pussies.
Ghetto Ostrich.
The true disenfranchised youth of America, young female ostriches. Ostriches. Due to the social restraints society has put upon them, they have banded together in a sort of hood flock to commit small crimes, like shitting on sidewalks, wrapping their necks around people and things, and sticking their heads where they don't belong. Ghetto Ostrich Pussies, the new. Check it out, man. They're around, dude.
Don't look it up. It's new.
Thank it's new. It's real check. You just got to keep your eyes open.
Very good, Steven. You are high. You're very high right now.
Sorry, I found
something. No, it's fine. Earlier. It's good. We need diversity. Danielle Mandela, what does GOP mean to you?
GOP stands for the Gag Order Party. And I'm not at liberty to discuss the views and actions of this party or the people or things it may or may not represent.
Okay, that's fair. Very good. Very good, Danielle. Jayami Fernandez.
Yes.
What does GOP mean to you?
GOP is godless, ominous parents.
Okay.
Sitting in silence and staring at the wall during dinner while their four goth teenagers hurriedly eat for over 40 years now.
Very good. This is a very quick segment.
Yeah. I'll slow it down.
We'll see. Jesse Jones, bring us home with reorganization.
GOP. GOP, yes. GOP actually stands for Gentle Old Pervert. He's the impossibly old guy at your local dive bar that you can't remember ever not seeing there. It's usually only minutes after you arrive that you can see him slowly limping towards your group of friends at a speed that you can barely detect, yet before you know it, he's wobbling right there next to you. You always look forward to his creepy but good-natured hijinks, including the same story that he's forgotten that he tells you every time you see him about how he once fingered Nancy Reagan in the booth near the bathroom.
Oh, man.
While Ronnie just watched and jerked it under the table.
Oh, man.
It's his story, not mine. You're also pretty sure he once brought himself to a dusty orgasm rubbing against your girlfriend a couple months ago while telling you all of the 1940s slang for vagina that he learned while stationed aboard the USS Missouri during the big one. And not surprisingly, the big one is still one of his favorite of those terms.
That was reorganization. Yeah. Clap if you want to.
All right.
All right. Are you ladies enjoying it over there? Yeah? Okay, good. We're getting fist pumps from the crowd. This next segment is called Location, Location, Location. We're still playing Stab. You all now are business owners in shitty locations. Make us want to come to your shitty locationed business. Stephen Fury, we'll start with you. You run a 99-cent store in the media's version of Baltimore. A 99-cent store in the media's version of Baltimore. Good luck.
Starting off, our deals are on fire. We'll beat those prices like a cop at a BSU meeting. That's Black Student Union.
Okay.
Come through the door with an idea. Leave through the window with a solution. 5% off with valid excessive force police reports. That's
very good.
That's all we got.
Stephen Fury.
Come, check me out. 99-cent store, Baltimore.
Whew. All right, I feel really bad for this next one. Danielle Mandela.
I'll make it better.
You run a Curves gym in Ethiopia. Yikes. Who wrote this?
Curves Ethiopia knows all of our members have different needs when it comes to health and fitness. That's why we offer a wide variety of programs suited to your goals. Programs like our exclusive Hunger Games Boot Camp will give you the strength and confidence you need to demolish even your closest friends and family in the name of survival. If it's been a while since you felt your best physically, our introductory program will take you back to the basics, like sitting up slowly so you don't pass out. If you're looking for a complete mind and body connection, we offer a variety of meditation and positive visualization classes to help you will your body back to optimum health without the hassle of costly nutritional supplements like food and water. Distend your body and mind at Curves Ethiopia.
Very good, Danielle Mandela. James Jell
yes.
Fernandez, you are the owner of an adult toy store in Disneyland.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I apologize for how offensive this is. if there's anyone that knows how hard it is to walk around Disneyland without getting a huge boner, it's me. As the owner-operator of Splash in My Mountain Adult Toy Emporium, located conveniently between the Where's Waldo, seriously, have you seen Waldo Jacob Muhammad wanted in 3 states on 4 counts of child pornography and 1 count of arson, Family Fun Booth, and the How to Train Your Dragon to Love God Christian Recruitment Center, I know how important it is to have multiple orgasms while visiting the most magical place on earth. Splash in My Mountain Adult Toy Emporium specializes in those taunted by sexual feelings sparked by all things Disney. Have you always wondered what it was like to fuck Mickey Mouse ears? Check out our ears in her ass head dildos. Wacky on your head fun in the bed. Not quite sold yet? We're running a special on the It's Way Too Small World penis pumps. the tea bag or teacups clit spinners. The matter hornier than your mom nipple clamps. At Splash in My Mountain, we don't want to beat around your youngest daughter's bush here.
Oh, man. Ladies.
We understand that Disneyland is an epicenter for pedophilic behavior, and we haven't forgotten about you sickos.
Oh, no.
I had to. Come on. Okay. Purchase one of our famous toddler tarps adorned with all Disney princesses and heavy duty enough for body transportation and fluid protection.
Oh, God.
Not interested in that? Oh, I might skip that part.
No, you can't.
Choose from a variety of living children who are lost or forgotten by their families while prancing around this enchanting theme park who now reside safely and happily in our Cinderella-style bolted basement. Ears in her ass, head dildos included with every rental. Remember, a trip to Disneyland is never complete without weird sex and kitschy-themed jelly dongs. Mention this ad and receive 20% off our Peter Panhandler fake IDs. Perfect for those ordered by the court to not go within 40 feet of children.
Jamie Fernandez.
Did you say rentals?
All right. Checking. That was the opposite of Irish music. Come on in. All right. This will end this segment. Jesse Jones, You manage a Once Upon a Child next door to the Planned Parenthood corporate offices.
Actually, if you check your own spelling, I manage a Once Upon a Child next to the Planned Parenthood corporate offices.
Oh, you're such a dick. By the way, I didn't get two nice comments from the back.
That's right.
All right, go ahead.
So the Planned, that changes a lot. The people at Planned Parenthood know that stimuli of any kind, no matter how good intentioned, can drastically affect the development of your child in sometimes unintended ways. Which is why, not wanting to risk influencing your young one in any direction, which might not have been their naturally born life tract. The planed parenthood, once upon a child, offers all the most adequate, evenly handled clothing and gender-neutral toys for your newborn, pre-adult human child. Jumpers, onesies, creepers, and bibs, all available in our traditional, desaturated, off-gray, which allows the early-stage, non-gender-identified person under your guardianship the ability to discover their own naturally-born orientation without the pressure of socially accepted hue associations. You won't find a pink or blue anywhere in our store. Your child's originally assigned sexual organs are not meant to define them as a person, nor should it define their style. Our amorphous blob mobiles are built to sit perfectly still above the child's crib so as not to cause any undue alarm or excitement, which may stunt their emotional discovery, and are meant to be interpreted as the newly formed mind of your 0 to 18-month-old sees fit. All of the corners on our blocks have been rounded so severely that they're nearly spheroid, while no letters or numbers of any language adorn the sides, so as not to impose upon the infant any cultural ideology or identity before they have fully weighed all options available to them. The planed parenthood, once upon a child, because children, all children start on the same level, and where they go from there is up to them.
Very good.
Jesus.
That just sounded real. I feel like that's a real thing.
Yeah. In the future.
That is. I know I got depressed. Very good. That was the segment. I forget. Location, location, location. Jesse couldn't help you. Stumbled on a couple words there.
That's
anyway,
true.
Moving on to the next.
Son of a bitch. Touche.
This next segment is called Dating Profiles of the Fictional and or Non-Fictional. You choose. Stephen Fury, you were given the dating profile of Sasha Obama. Danielle Mandela, you're given the dating profile from the perspective of a tampon. Jason Fernandez, you were given the dating profile of the greatest Magic the Gathering player who ever lived, who's also here tonight. Hi. Okay. And Jesse Jones, you were given the Can You Hear Me Now guy from the old Verizon commercials. We're going to start with Stephen Fury with the dating profile of Sasha Obama.
Yeah, man, this one was kind of hard because she's like a real person, so I just like looked it up. You know, it's, it says like 17, female, always single. Location was on the corner of Nunya and motherfucking Business. Under self-summary, it was just, you know, normal stuff. She said, just a trap lord with fat tits and a wet ass. All you fuckboys and ratchets best recognize the real has arrived. Dick in hand, Sasha in the trap, Obama in the White House. You know, just normal stuff that you would see on every 17-year-old under what it said I'm doing. I mean, it's really, you guys can just look it up. It's not hard. I don't know why. It said what I'm doing in my life. I'm the fucking president's daughter. The fuck you think I'm doing? Being a bad bitch. I mean, it's just simple stuff that everyone has seen before. I don't know. Six things I couldn't do without. Number one, pussy. Two, money. Three, weed. Obvious. Number four, all the Harry Potter books. I understand that one makes sense. Number five, Abba Zabba's as well. That also makes sense. And she closed it off with, hold on, let me put on my glasses. Hold on one sec. Some big dick fuck boy for the slip and slide. I don't know what it means, but it sounds good. There's a couple more simple stuff. I spend a lot of time thinking about pushing that red button. Y'all act up, I'll end the game. I am the dungeon master. You know, just normal shit. She wrote for under, I'm looking for nothing I can have and do whatever I want. I just wanted to show y'all what balling looks like so you can shut the fuck up And she closed it out with, message me if you're LeBron. It's really just simple, you know, normal 17-year-old girl stuff.
Very good. Stephen Fury. Danielle Mandela, please give us the dating profile of a tampon. Go.
What I'm doing with my life, I'm all about being in the flow. I'm really good at expanding myself. The first thing people notice is I'm very flexible. I can fit in almost anywhere. Favorite books and movies, it just says anything about string theory and Taming of the Shrew. I spend a lot of time thinking about how to avoid toxic situations. Because I'm so flexible, sometimes it seems like people forget I'm even there. Typical Friday night, I like to stay in. The most private thing I'm willing to admit is that the sight of blood sometimes makes me queasy. Message me if you lead an active lifestyle, you have an affinity for white pants or spandex, and you refuse to let anything slow you down.
Very good. Danielle Mandela. Gregory Fernandez. Police have written a dating profile, the greatest Magic the Gathering player who ever lived.
Yeah, I didn't.
You didn't do
I
this.
Mean, I did do it.
That's all right.
But what the fuck, you know? I'm going to have to read it like this, like I imagine this guy in my head. About me. Let's see. Where do I start? I really don't know what to say in these things. My friends tell me that I'm really bad at talking about myself, but my friend Trey, but he's only a planeswalker in the multiverse. I mean, it's cool because he has the ability to travel between planes and cast spells and stuff, but he can't even summon armies of creatures without my help. So it's like, whatever, Trey, you don't know anything. I guess I like hiking sometimes, but I haven't really been since the banning of the birthing pod and all the decks back in like 2013, because I was just like, I can't even handle what's happening in the world right now, you know? I don't know if you feel like that sometimes. Dating mostly makes me feel like a goblin fire slinger with only one damage point. What I'm doing with my life. I work part-time at Foster's Deli. They have onion dip there, but it's not as good as my grandma's. But I don't tell my boss that because sometimes when I say things to him, he calls me Asperger's asshole. and tells me to go fuck one of my goblin friends. But I would never fuck a goblin. I would only ever be intimate with Kiora. She's my favorite Mercefork planeswalker. Trey says you can see her nipples in one of the cards. But I think he only says that to make me bad, because I really don't think Kiora would show her nipples like that. The six things I couldn't live without. Kiora, my favorite blue and green aligned Merfolk planeswalker. My black lotus. My deck I've been building for 10 years. Duh. My cowboy bebop t-shirt. Grape Jolly Ranchers mixed in cinnamon oatmeal. And my razor scooter I'm going to use to get the Planeswalker Points Magic the Gathering Grand Prix Tournament. First prize is $4,000, so when I win, I'll probably just take this down because I'm going to, like, buy a girlfriend. And then you should message me if... Well, the thing is, like, I'm 28 and I've never had a girlfriend before because I just have really high standards. Like, my neighbor Kelsey liked me and was nice to me, and she played Magic too, but I thought her arms were a little chubby. And I prefer someone who just looks like a younger Christy Turlington, but with, like, bigger boobs and more feminine-looking hair, maybe with, like, blonde highlights in the front, and who doesn't wear any makeup but looks really good anyway, and will make me breakfast, lunch, and dinner while I hardcore train for tournaments. And then at night, we'll dress up like Kiora and peg me while I hold my balls and read... and read Magic the Gathering forums. Must also like the band Eve 6.
Very good. Was that accurate, Jay? Was that no, not at all accurate. Okay. All right. I forget your name also. That's weird.
Yeah.
Guy at the end. Who's dead to me?
Yeah.
Oh, Jamie. I don't know. Dating profiles of the Can You Hear Me Now guy from those oldish Verizon commercials.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually, for whatever reason, went with a Grindr profile.
Okay.
User, can you rear me now?
Of course.
Sometimes low-hanging fruit is... headline. Can you handle America's largest 4G LTE network? I call my penis 4G LTE network. My Grindr tribe's clean cut, discreet, geek, and otter. It's real. It's a thing. Ethnicity, other. Looking for right now. Relationship status, open relationship. About me, I've got a plan for you, and it's more everything. You think you can handle it? Yeah, I've got unlimited talk, but I'm more interested in unlimited action. If you really want to party, my data's totally shareable. And all your friends and family can take advantage of my cloud storage, if you know what I mean. And what I mean is my butt.
Cloud storage.
Once you get a hold of me, if you really know how to work my personal hotspot, I'll show you why everyone says I've got the best coverage around. This profile is meant for promotional purposes only. Verizon Wireless and its parent company are not guaranteeing or implying any sort of sexual conduct in association with correspondence with this profile. Verizon Wireless strongly urges you do not engage in any sexual activity with your mobile device, up to and or including inserting it into your person or any other person's, willing or otherwise. Verizon Wireless, the more data, more savings, more mobile phone-themed sexual innuendo. Never settle.
That was Dating Profiles of Fictional and or Non-Fictional. This next segment, this is the first time we've ever done this next segment. It's a very new segment called Give Me Those Lyrics. Give Me Those Lyrics. Please provide 3 song titles and a few lyrics from each song from the following made-up band names. Stephen Fury, the name of your band is the Cancun Boys.
Man, Cancun. I was super stoked. I thought that we skipped this part. I was like, that was my weakest segment. I'm going to end on the good one. Man. But no. I mean, honestly, it's kind of hard to describe the Cancun Boys because they've had such, like, an impact on our culture as a whole, you know, like what hasn't been said. They're huge influences on everybody from the Beatles to Biggie Smalls to Al-Qaeda. Everyone has really pointed back to the Cancun Boys. A lot of people don't know this, but the Cancun Boys originally... name was the Cancun Fuck Boys, but they split in the early 80s, and the Cancun Boys went one way, and the Fuck Boys went another way, and the Fuck Boys actually turned into the Baja Men. Not many people know that, but that's true, which makes sense, because one of the old tracks was Who Put the Dogs Back in Their Cages? That was actually the Cancun Boys. The Fuck Boys, they did their own thing, and that one really goes on the ice. The other one was called Fat Dicks on Ice, which was a song about their new energy drink that did not catch on. People didn't enjoy singing about it. And they also wrote our national anthem, which I don't have to really explain much about. That was the Cancun Fuck Boys that wrote that. And George Michael's Jitterbug. All things that are in our culture, already deeply seated. I don't have any lyrics.
Very good. Stephen Fury. Stephen, right. Let him hear ya. This triumphant return back to Stab. Very good. Danielle Mandela, the name of your band is Shift Finger. Shift,
that's right.
Finger.
So Shift Finger, they started out as a Switchfoot cover band.
Switchfoot, Christian rock band.
Yeah. And then they decided to branch out. They made some of their own material later. But they also had one of those... inter-band relationships. So the guitarist and the lead singer, they dated.
Oh.
So that's their backstory, and that kind of bled into a lot of their songs and lyrics.
Okay.
Like songs like Flip It, a little sample of that. He said it's 3 a.m. and the time is right, so close your eyes, girl, and I'll flip it. Flip it. Flip that switch. Turn on the light so I don't hit the floor or miss the bowl. I know how much you hate that girl, so close your eyes. I really got to go.
Okay.
Other hits kind of detail the rocky points in their relationship. This one's called "Can You Hear This?" and in parentheses, "Let Me Turn It Up." I need help on this one, so can you read the word when I get there? All right. "So your little piggy went to market, while your miss little piggy stayed home. Now this little piggy's in the club with her two little birds up, singing, 'Can you hear this?'"
What?
"Let me turn it up." Nicely done.
That was their "don't speak." Okay.
That was, yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. Yeah. It got worse before it got better. This one's called "Shut Up, Trevor." "Shut up, Trevor. This doesn't concern you. You're only here because you own a van. Shut up, Trevor. This is between me and Dan. Frankly, Trevor, you suck at playing bass, and you're a mediocre lay, so shut up, you stupid..." And then it cuts off, and you just hear Dan jumps over his drum kit, and he's beating the crap out of Trevor with his sticks.
I remember that one.
But the band, despite all of that, they're still together.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
I'm pretty sure they'll be at the State Fair this year.
Okay.
Shift finger, everybody.
Very good, very good. Jorge Rivera. The name of your band is called Auto-Tune Correct.
Yeah.
Auto-Tune Correct.
Auto-Tune Correct.
So great segment. Auto-Tune Correct.
I didn't write a bio for mine. I just did like an album title and then some hits.
Okay.
And then some lyrics from the hits. So Auto-Tune Correct, their album title is "Robots Have Talent So We Don't Have to Too." Featuring hits like "My 10-year-old sister can make this shit on her netbook." A couple of this is a rap one. This is their rap single. It goes like this: "Sister, sister, show me how to lay down beats while you eat Cheez-Its, crumbs between the keys. Sister, what do I do when my computer freeze? You make it look so easy, the way you upload samples of Kabizi and turn it into a whole real song handmade, but it feels wrong to steal your shit when you're only in the fifth grade." Another hit of theirs: "I thought Auto-Tune was only to make fun of silly black people." And then, and then in parentheses, "being interviewed by local newscasters." And some lyrics from that hit: "The love between a local news reporter and outrageous black victim runs deeper than the love between talentless fame whore cum baskets and their new issue of People. This love, this love, runs deeper than rapper T-Pain's dreadlocks down a garbage disposal and his desire to make filthy shredding hair sound marketable. This is sound, this love." And the last one of their hits, guys, is called "If I Only Lip Sing the Words I Love You, Does It Have to Count?" And a little bit from this one goes: "Baby, I want to love you, but it's mostly fake. I want to say the words, but there's too many other bitches at stake. If I lip sing I love you, does it have to be real? If I lip sing I love you, will you still let me feel your tits, your tits, your titties? I'll lip sing lots of things, baby, if it's not really considered a lie after. I'll lip sing sweet nothings. I'll fake yell and fake shout. We can lip sync together forever, baby, if I know it doesn't count."
Okay. Very good, very good. Jamie Fernandez and Jesse mm-hmm. Jones, bring us home. The name of your band is called Barbershop Hortet. Barbershop Hortet.
Yes.
It's a play on quartet.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
It was.
All right. The Barbershop Hortet basically invented the musical porn genre and revolutionized both the music and adult entertainment industries. The group signed with Vivid Entertainment to produce both their films and the accompanying soundtracks for their series of pornographic features. Their first film, Meat, M-E-A-T, the Barbershop Hortet, introduce the world to the Fag Four, as the industry trades dub them. Just to be clear, it's the porn movie music industry trade magazines that coined that name, not me. Take it up with them. The biggest hit from the soundtrack to Meet the Barbershop Quartet was I Want to Hold Your Hand, parentheses, in my rectum. this single's light, poppy tune and the playful nature of the closing circle jerk scene defined the group's early works. Later, as they matured as artists and both their sound and variety positions evolved, the group went on to release Revolve Her, their first foray into the bisexual genre, which showed the group's experimentation with pushing the very boundaries of porn musicianship. Their exploration ultimately led to the release of the last film and soundtrack that the group would produce together, The Brown Album, which included such smash hits as Lose Seed in My Eye with Five Men's. And arguably their masterpiece, Sergeant Pecker's Bone My Fart Glove Land.
All right, guys. Very, very good. Very good. You know what? Let's hear it for all the comedians up here tonight. Right now, Stab is just about over. One more time. Keep it going. Keep it going for all these. You guys, if you'd like to hear more Stabs, go to one of our many online outlets, the primary being www.stab4gold.com, the number stab4gold.com. You can get us on Twitter at Stab Show, SoundCloud, or if you'd like to put a face to the voice, head over to YouTube and watch our clips with your eyes, if you'd like. This edition of Stab was recorded and produced at Luna's Cafe in Sacramento, California. Our recording engineer is Dan Herrera and TPP Studios. Let him hear you, Adrian. We're going to keep this going. Our voiceover was none other than the Grand Wizard, John Alston. All of our social media is handled by the Lord Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Wardrobes provided by The Fabric. And lodging from all of our guests for Stab was provided by Cancer Researchers of America and Inappropriate Touching. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Good evening. I'm sorry. Bye.